So, this is going to be very difficult for me. I've got 10 minutes. So, I want to start here. Somebody gave me a tape back in the days of cassette tapes. It actually gave me a shoebox full of tapes of a preacher named Donald Gray Barnhouse. Some of the older guys will know about that guy. I doubt many young people would know. Maybe he's still on the radio in places. But anyway, I popped one of these cassette tapes in. I was listening, and he said a statement there that really struck me. I was about 18 years old or so. And listening to this tape, it just kind of shook me to the core what this guy said. He said, "Where you are right now is better than heaven and worse than hell." In the sense that it's better than heaven if you're a Christian, in this sense, because right now, your life here on earth, you've got a chance to store up treasure in heaven. You've got a chance to live for the glory of God. You've got a few short years to go for it, just to pile up treasures in heaven and live a life that glorifies God. This is game time. Now, it's worse than hell if you're an unbeliever, in one sense of the word. And some of you that are listening are unbelievers. And where you are right now is worse than hell in this sense. Every day that goes by, that you continue to reject the love of God and His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness, every day that goes by that you continue to reject that, you're just piling up more and more of God's white hot holy wrath against yourself. And in that sense, if you were to never repent of your sins and you were to die without having believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you would be have stored up more and more wrath for yourself. In that sense of the word, it'd be better just to die right now, to not continue to heap up that wrath. Of course, the best thing is repent while there's still time. Come to Christ while there's still time. That was kind of the gist of this message that I was listening to, and it really shocked me as I realized I had grown up in a Christian home, a fine Christian home, and I was thinking about the kids that were singing up here with the motions. What a blessing to grow up in a Christian home. I remember seeing my dad sometimes in the morning. I would have to get up and go to the bathroom at like 4 in the morning or something, and I'd see my dad on his knees with the Bible open, praying and poring over God's word, and then reading the Bible around the dinner table. But as I got a little bit older, I went to Christian school. We went to church a couple of times a week, and I grew up feeling like and thinking that I was a Christian just because I had grown up in a Christian home. I could give you all of the right answers. I had memorized all the verses. And little by little, as I was growing up, basketball became my God. I had a basketball named George. I slept with George. I slept with my basketball every single night. I dribbled him all the way to school. I actually won the free throw contest for the whole state of Oregon when I was 13 years old. I was awesome. And, well, I thought I was awesome. And anyway, I was invi we I grew up going to a mega church, about 5,000 people or so. The youth group was 700 people, 700 kids. I remember going to the youth group and just feeling like all alone, like not even, there's so many people there, but just kind of not having any friends. One of my friends from school invited me to his youth group, and they had youth group on Sunday nights, and it was a youth group of like 40, 50 kids, and I didn't know it was an assembly, and the only reason I went is because they played basketball, and they had a pretty good game going there, so I went in and dominated. But after starting to go to the youth group for a while, the youth group leader sat down with me, and he said, "Micah, basketball is your God." And I was so mad at him, I didn't go back for 3 weeks, but basketball called, and I wanted to go back and play. And I really knew deep down inside, and that, I mean, him saying that basketball is your God really kind of woke me up, and I realized he was exactly right. He was exactly right. A few months later, I tore my ACL playing basketball, and I had a few opportunity scholarships to go to some colleges and play. But when I tore my ACL in my left knee, all of my dreams and aspirations, really meaning in life, went out the window. And at that point, I really felt like just rock bottom. And I mean, without going into lots of detail, I had so much vice in my life. I was such a jerk. I had so many idols. It wasn't just basketball. But I remember at that point, with all kind of my meaning and purpose in life out the window, I just began to read the scriptures for myself for the first time ever. My dad always read the Bible at the dinner table, but I remember I just was like, okay, I got to figure out what this is talking about. As I started reading little by little, right about that time, I went to a summer camp, Eagle Fern Bible Camp in Estacada, Oregon. And I was on staff that summer. I remember my friend and I, we growing up in good Christian homes, there was a girl on staff that she had a really rough upbringing. And she came to us crying one night and she said, "Micah, Josh, I need Jesus. I need to get saved. Can you just help me get saved?" And I remember my friend started to explain how to get saved and he just kind of tied himself all up in knots and he's like, "I don't know, Micah, you tell her." And so I like tried to tell her, I kind of tied myself all up in knots. I was like, "I don't know." And then she goes, "I just don't get how one guy 2,000 years ago dying on a cross, how can that save anybody from hell?" And it started, "Well, I don't know." And it really scared me because I realized I grew up in a Christian home. I've been going to church my whole life. I have no idea. And that kind of coinciding with my torn ACL and losing meaning and purpose in life. And I just started reading the Bible like crazy. There was a friend at youth group that challenged me. He said, "Hey, if you read the Bible three and a half chapters a day, you can finish the whole Bible in a year." And it was about January in there somewhere, and I thought, man, I'm going to do this. After I read for about a couple of weeks, I thought, you know, I'm going to go for twice this year. I'm going 6 chapters. After a couple of days, I was like, no, I'm going 9. And then I was like, no, 12. 12 chapters every day. And so I did 12 chapters every day, and I was taking notes. I mean, in the margin, I was writing all kinds of things. A lot of times I just wrote, "I don't understand this." But oftentimes, as I continued to read, I'd find my answer to my question. I'd go back and, oh, this is the answer. I just marked up my Bible like crazy. I began to memorize. I just thought, man, I love that first section in the passage in James chapter 1. I thought, I'm going to memorize this. Now, I only ever memorized anything because it was an assignment. But now I'm like, man, I just want to know what this is talking about. I'm going to memorize this until I figure out what it's talking about. And so I just memorized this section. I got done with that section. I'm like, I'm going for the whole chapter. I got done with the chapter. I'm like, I'll do chapter 2 also. Chapter 3, chapter 4. I could say the book of James in 16 minutes with no errors. I just went around to all my friends. I went to this party with some of my friends, and my friends were late. They were starting to get fed up. They're like, "Micah, man, you're like turning into the Bible boat." They called me the Bible boat. I don't know why. But we got to the party, and one of my friends, he announced to the whole party, hey, everybody, Micah's gone religious wacko. And everybody's kind of looking at me, and then my friend is like, "Yeah, tell him, like quote to him some of the passages." So I just like quoted James to the whole party, and like everybody, they couldn't believe it. But anyway, and obviously I'm missing all kinds of details there. They've given me so few minutes, I have no idea how long I've gone. But okay, so I think that was 1 minute. I guess anyone's testimony is complicated. There's so many different factors that the Lord brings in. But what I really want to land on is God just used his word to completely transform my life. Just reading the Bible. There's this passage in Jeremiah, chapter 20, verse 9. And Jeremiah's been preaching. He's been thrown into prison so many times. And they're practically starving him to death down in this pit. And he prays and he says, "Lord, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire. It was shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back. And I could not." And I remember just coming to that verse in Jeremiah, finding that verse and being like, that is me. Like, just God's word has just gotten into my bones. I'm weary of holding it back. I got to tell somebody. Lord, just like send me to tell anybody. I started going to the gas station. I would just like, as I'm pumping gas, go around and tell everybody anything I could, or at the line at the cash register in Albertsons. Do you have Albertsons here? You do? Oh, okay. And just sharing the gospel with people in line. But you know, the gospel is something that God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David and through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God. How? By his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in Philippians chapter 3, Paul, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. That verse just grabbed me the first time I came across it, just realizing everything that's been gained to me, growing up in a Christian home, man, massive gain, massive blessing, thank the Lord. But at the same time, it's all dung. If you don't know Christ, if you don't have a real relationship with the living God. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks listening to that message by Barnhouse. Like, I don't know God. I don't have a personal relationship with him. I know things about him from his word. I grew up in a Christian home, and God saved me from a lot of consequences of bad decisions that I might have made outside of the circumstances in which I grew up, but I don't know God. And then coming to the scriptures, and just, I remember one night my dad reading at the dinner table, he would always go to Hebrews 11. He loved Hebrews 11. I remember sitting there with my basketball, and I was so mad at my dad that I'm like, man, when is he going to get done reading the Bible? I got to go and practice my free throws. And I was so upset, and I remember as he was quoting there in Hebrews 11, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, of Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And right about there, my dad's voice cracked, like he choked up. And my dad didn't, like, you didn't see him cry hardly ever, but he just choked up. And I remember thinking, Micah, all you care about is shooting free throws, and your dad really believes this stuff. Especially young people, I'm talking to you. Many have grown up in great Christian homes. You've grown up in a great Bible teaching church. But man, it's all dung if you don't know Christ. If you haven't been found, your righteousness found in him. Not your righteousness in good works of the law, but rather in the righteousness that Christ and Christ alone gives. He who knew no sin was made sin on our behalf, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When Jesus went to the cross, he took on my sin, and then he gave me his righteousness. Justified, righteous. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. It's not by works, it's by his grace, and it's through faith that you get a hold of it. Brothers and sisters, I think I'm way over, but I guess just the beginning of Hebrews, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, through whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having obtained a better name than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a better name than the angels. Oh, I messed that one up at the end. But God's word in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, weary of holding it back. Oh, this is what I long to see, that more and more, especially young people, just saturating yourself with God's word and letting it get into your bones, being weary of holding it back, and then refusing to hold it back. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. I'm just a herdsman and a grower of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people, Israel. And I feel like God is... He's put that into my heart, and I think any true believer, regardless of your gifting, and obviously there's different giftings that is given, and maybe you're not an evangelist, but you're called as Amos is called to preach, to share the gospel, as God took Amos from following the flock. I love that. He's just a normal guy. He's a farmer. I was an electrician. And I feel like the Lord just took me from following the wire reel and said to me, go prophesy, go preach to anybody that will listen. God's word in your heart like a burning fire. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. I thank you how it has transformed many, many lives that are seated right here. And it will transform many, many more. Lord, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, as we continue to hear the gospel preached this evening, that you would do miraculous work in our hearts. I pray that you would set our hearts on fire for your glory, knowing that we're here for a short amount of time in comparison to eternity. Oh Lord, only one life to live, soon to a pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Lord, we pray that you would stamp eternity on our eyeballs. Help us to live with that eternal perspective. Oh God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and the great price has been paid for us on our behalf. We owe you everything, not to earn salvation, but just to come to you in gratitude and thankfulness. Lord, we thank you for the meaning and purpose that you've poured into our lives, knowing that we have been chosen, knowing that we are adopted sons and daughters of yours. Oh, the meaning and purpose that you've given to us. We want to put our lives into your hands, just worshiping you, glorifying you today. In Jesus' name, amen.